Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and glad that you're with us here. And certainly want to say Merry Christmas to everybody tonight. And we're going to be talking about Christmas and a number of things dealing with Christmas in the program. And I'm joined with a special guest in the studio here, Pastor John Lutz of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. And we are going to be talking about a variety of things dealing with Christmas here tonight. And so I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And normally I would give out our phone numbers, but because of the holiday schedule and everything, we're not taking phone numbers or phone calls tonight, but hopefully things that we talk about will answer some questions you might have. And in the meanwhile, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. If you go there, you can learn, of course, a little bit more about me, and you can listen to past programs there. There's a whole list of not only our first and second hours on Sunday night. We're on every Sunday night from 10 o'clock until midnight. But you can also listen to our Friday afternoon programs. We're on every Friday afternoon at 1:30 until 2 o'clock. And those are all linked at livewithpastoral.com. There's a number of articles and things that I have there as well. And we have a list of what I call my Christmas collection, a number of things that are there that you can find. Some of the stuff we'll be talking about tonight, we've talked about some in the recent weeks, and I collected some that I've put together over the years. There's several articles. There's actually two parodies there, which we'll be playing for you tonight. The one parody, 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest. The second parody is How the ACLU Stole Christmas, with apologies to Dr. Seuss. And then we also have The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures. I said we'd be playing the parodies for you tonight. Only one of them will be played tonight. That's 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest, and we'll probably be playing that in the second half hour this evening. And then we're also going to be reading The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, and that we'll be doing in the last half hour of the program. So I hope you'll be able to stay tuned for that, and it'll be a blessing to you. By the way, if you go to livewithpastoral.com, you can see these, and you can also download The Birth of Christ as Recorded in the Scriptures, and you can use it as a home devotion for yourself. You can use it at your church. We started this a number of years ago when we were missionaries in the Samoan Islands, and we'll be talking more about that again when we get to that time in the program. But we also have several articles there. Why was Jesus made a little lower than the angels? And looking at the incarnation of Christ. And then who were the shepherds? Looking at the shepherds that the angel announced the birth of Christ to, and why it was that particular group. And then there's why was the virgin birth of Jesus Christ necessary? And that, of course, is very important. A lot of people overlook that, but in a nutshell, if Jesus had an earthly father, he would have had a sin nature, and he could not have that to be our Savior. And then we have, oh, Christmas tree or idolatry. And, of course, that's a perennial thing. We'll be talking about that. No pun intended. I just realized what I said. And we'll be talking about that here this evening as well. And then the spirit of Herod is alive and well. And looking at the same spirit that motivated Herod to kill the Jewish babies in an effort to eliminate the king of the Jews, and the same spirit that's motivating people today with anti-Semitism and different things in the world around us. So we'll talk about a variety of things as well here this evening, but check us out online, livewithpastoral.com, and then from there you can link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, where I am the pastor, and you can find out more information about us there, and there'll be information through the program on that. We meet in a commercial space in Richfield, Ohio, 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. We're right at the corner of Rexville Road and Wheatley Road, near where Interstate 77 and 271 cross. If you're in the area, we'd love to have you come out and visit. And if you don't have a church in the area, or perhaps you're in a church that doesn't preach and teach from the Word of God, the King James Bible, and you'd like to come out and check us out, we'd love to have you visit us at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And a reminder, don't look for a building with a steeple or you won't find us. We're in a commercial suite. You have to look for our door. And so you can find us at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield. And then also, I want to mention, too, that at our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can find some of our social media sites that are there, and we have different things posted there from time to time, and so we'd love to have you check that out. Hopefully find something there, be a blessing and an encouragement to you, but let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again that we can spend some time here on the radio this evening thinking about the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and as we think about that day that changed history for all time, Lord. To the world was an insignificant birth, but Lord, for us, it's one of the most important events in history. And so we just pray that as we talk about it tonight, that we could be a blessing, that we can be an encouragement to somebody. Lord, if there's somebody that is searching for a knowledge of the truth, help something that we talk about today to be something that can be helpful to help point them to Christ, to be able to see that Jesus truly is our Lord and Savior, and that they need Christ as their Savior today. And then, Lord, for those that are saved, we just pray that some of the things we talk about tonight will be a help and be a blessing and be an encouragement to believers as well. But again, we thank you for the opportunity we have, and in all things, help us to lift up and glorify Jesus Christ. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm joined in the studio this evening with my friend, Pastor John Lutz. And Brother Lutz, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's always a blessing. I appreciate our friendship, and it's centered in the Lord, and those are the best friendships, and yes. Appreciate you inviting me out tonight. It's a blessing
to
be here.
Glad, and it's nice to have you out at night here for a change, because for our listeners, some of them are aware of it. You actually have a program every Friday afternoon here on our home station, AM 1220 The Word, here in northeastern Ohio, and what's your program?
Well, it's called For the Cause of Christ, and we do simple Bible studies. We'll talk about political things or social things. Mainly, we do a lot of Bible studies, messages, but it's from 1 to 1:30 on Friday afternoons, right before Live with Pastor Al at 1:30. And so, we'd love for you to tune in and listen. I tell you, we have more people come, Pastor Al, because of that radio broadcast, mm-hmm. and we go out weekly, and we're witnessing, and we're passing out tracts, and we're doing, but by far, a lot of people listen on the radio, yes. And we're very appreciative of that. We really
right.
are.
And again, I'd like to thank you for allowing me to fill your spot there once in a while. Every once in a while, you have me guest host for you on For the Cause of Christ, and likewise, every once in a while, you guest host for me on our program at 1:30. And so it's just kind of nice that every once in a while we do a joint show together.
Yeah.
And that gives us about an hour. But tonight we got 2 hours.
Yeah.
So and we'll be talking about Christmas tonight. And, when you think about the time of year, what better thing to be talking about
sure.
Christmas? I find myself feeling almost jealous of this one lady in the nursing home when we were in the nursing home. This is a number of years ago. I never remember exactly which was the case, but either her or her husband was Roman Catholic and the other one was Greek Orthodox, which made for an interesting combination.
Yeah.
And that'll lead to what we're talking about here tonight. Probably when our first thing we're going to look at is when Jesus was born.
Yeah.
But she used to smile and tell me, because I asked her one time, isn't that a little confusing?
Yeah.
What do you do at Christmas? Because the Greek Orthodox, of course, they celebrate Christmas in January, and the Roman Catholics support it celebrate it on December 25th. I said, "What did you do?" She'd smile, laugh, and say, "Oh, We celebrate it twice.
There you go. There's an answer. Oh,
that's good. I almost feel jealous in a sense. They actually, one side of the family, they did on the Catholic side, they did December, and on the Greek Orthodox side, they did January. And her son was in there one time, and he said, yeah, we got presents two times. It's like, I almost feel jealous there.
Yes.
But neither you or I are Catholic, and both you and I celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th, that becomes a question that appears periodically. Why the 25th? Isn't the 25th a day that was just established to take the place of a pagan holiday? Or is there another reason? Some people claim that Jesus was born in the spring. Some people claim that he was born in the fall. And some people say it doesn't make any difference. We don't know when he was born. It just matters that he was born. Yeah. And so I thought we would touch on that a little bit here this evening. But again, glad to have you on with us tonight. We can spend some time can't think of a better thing to do today or tonight than just to talk about the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And if you think about it, as I said when I was praying, this is an event that changed human history, isn't it?
It sure is. You know, it's obviously, we write... Let me say this, you know, some of the dates and stuff we may not know 100%, but, you know, clearly every time you write a check, it is based upon the fact that there's a date that changed completely that you're going off of. And whose birth that was that? That was the birth of Christ.
Right.
You know, so you're right. It all of history was changed because of that, human history.
Right. Well, you know, there's several things that people object to about the 25th, and we were talking about some things before the program, and in no particular order. I just remember a long time ago when I was in college, I remember taking a class, an English class, and we were going through some principles of writing and different things like that, and the professor was an interesting guy. This wasn't in a secular college. This wasn't in a seminary or anything. This was purely a secular college, and the professor had an interesting theory on holidays, and it tied in with a system that he had derived for interpreting plot lines and books and things like that without getting into all the details. But he said that in Western literature and because of our history and our roots in the Northern Hemisphere and Western sort of concepts, that there were certain key times that people had celebrations or things that they would do, and they revolved around the sun. And this brings up the idea that that Christmas was placed on the 25th to replace the worship of the sun, a pagan celebration that we might touch on here in a few minutes. Yeah. But his idea was that as you go through the course of the year, you would notice that the day would get progressively longer in the spring, and then in mid-June or June 21st would be the summer solstice. That would be the longest day of the year in the Northern Hemisphere, and then the daylight hours would start getting shorter, and by the time you got to December, you'd really notice the days getting shorter faster, and that is absolutely true. It just seems to be so much more noticeable. And so because so many people centered their lives and everything on the sun and they deified the sun, they would be concerned that the sun was growing weaker.
Yeah.
And so they would have at the end of December, remember our calendars were changed at one time on the previous calendar, the Julian calendar, December 25th would have been the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year, as opposed to December 21st now on the Gregorian calendar. Yeah. But they said that they would see the sun getting dimmer and appears weaker. And so they would light bonfires and have celebrations to cheer the sun and to encourage the sun. And those would take place about the end of December. And lo and behold, they worked, because in January, you started noticing the sun getting brighter and staying up longer. And so it must have worked, so they did it every year. So it became a big festival,
yeah.
Worshiping the sun, basically. And so that's the argument, is that, you know, Christmas was placed by the Catholic Church on December 25th in order to replace a pagan festival.
Yeah.
You've heard that too, haven't you?
Yeah, similar? Yeah, absolutely. And it makes sense in the sense that when you get away from God, how much in the Bible are people worshiping the hosts of heaven?
Right.
Right? The sun right. gods, the moon gods. So that makes perfect sense. And, mm-hmm. You know, for them to attribute it, obviously it's around the same time frame. So
right. Yeah. And now one of the things that people would say is, well, Jesus couldn't have been born in December because the shepherds were out in the fields with their flocks.
Yeah.
And it would be too cold. In fact, the Bible says it was cold. And so they wouldn't be out in the fields. It's too cold. But I had read that book, Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm.
Yeah.
I believe Geller is the guy's name. I think that read it. I might get that wrong. But he said when he was young growing up, he was a shepherd in that part of the world.
Yeah.
And he said, absolutely, they were out in the fields, in the hills, with their sheep in late December and early January.
Yeah.
And I gave some thought to that, and I thought, well, you know, it makes sense. I grew up on a small farm. We had dairy goats, and our goats would be given birth in you know, February, March time frame easily. And I had some friends that had sheep farm, and they, you know, early in the spring, late winter, in February time frame, they would be busy with sheep having, you know, giving birth, lambing season. Mm-hmm. And so this idea that, well, they weren't in the fields, it was too cold, they weren't out there with the sheep, and they had to be back into the cities and wherever they kept them in the cold months. And this guy who was a shepherd said, no, we were out in the fields with them, in the hills. And they would give birth out there in some of those places. And it starts to make a little sense. So the idea that he couldn't have been born in December 25th because the shepherds weren't out there, that's not biblical. It's because people in Northern Europe, you know, up in Germany and Scandinavia and Britain and places like that, it was too cold. They would be in the coldest part. And then they would start going back out later. And same with North America. So, that's really not a good argument that the shepherds were in the fields. That's not a good argument. So when was Jesus born? Was he born on December 25th or some other time? And there's other ways of looking at it. We had talked about the replacement, you know, for pagan history.
That's the pagan one,
And some people calculated based on a Hebrew tradition that great men would die on the day that they were conceived.
Mm-hmm.
And the general consensus, I believe Tertullian in the second century or thereabouts, had suggested that Jesus was crucified on March the 25th. And so they would calculate that if he's a great man, who could be greater than Jesus, then he must have been conceived on March the 25th.
Yeah.
Well, what's 9 months from March?
No, December.
December.
Yeah.
So that would put the birth of Christ being around about the end of December, or certainly, early January time frame. So the calculation theory seems to work, but is there something else? Is there something better, a better way to determine these things than just some assumption that great men die on the day that they were conceived, you know, the anniversary of their conception?
And I think it's important to note, too, is we're not necessarily staking down December 25th.
Right.
What we're saying is it's very plausible
mm-hmm.
and extremely plausible, and things we'll talk about here in a moment, that it was in that general area, and hopefully hopefully that date, I mean, it might work out, might not, but we know it's most likely that time of year.
Right, and even if it wasn't, it's like I said many times before, it doesn't matter so much what particular day Jesus was born on. It's the fact that he was born.
Yeah.
Because that one birth of Jesus Christ coming into the world changed human history.
Yeah.
Changed it completely, and it was the beginning of what needed to take place for our salvation to be taken care of.
That's right.
Because if Jesus had not been born into the world, then he would not have been able to be crucified for us.
Right.
I mean, how could God, they have pulled God down out of heaven and nailed him to the cross? It couldn't be. So he had to take on human form and become a man and dwell among us, as the Bible says. And so that's part of the reason why we celebrate Christmas. So again, the 25th, is there anything in the Bible that might indicate the date? And to me, one of the best indications comes here in Luke chapter 1.
Yeah.
In Luke chapter 1, we have the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, is in serving in the temple, because he was of the family of Abijah the priest, and they went by courses, 24 courses throughout the throughout the year, and it was his time to be serving in the temple. And here in Luke chapter 1, while Zacharias is in there, an angel appears to him and basically tells him that him and his wife Elizabeth are going to have a son, and that he's going to name the son John. Now, it says in verse number 23, and it came to pass that as soon as the days of his administration were accomplished, he departed to his house, and after those days his wife Elizabeth conceived and hid herself 5 months, saying, thus hath the Lord dealt with me in the days wherein he looked on me to take away my reproach among men. And in the sixth month, this is verse 26, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Thou art blessed, or blessed art thou among women. And this angel, Gabriel, comes to her and announces that she is going to give birth to the Messiah. Now, other than just the natural shock that she would have had, humanly speaking, you know, having an angel appear to her, now to be told that she is going to give birth. In fact, it says in verse 3, the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus, and he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Well, the shock of having the angel appear to her was enough, but then Mary starts to think. In verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? The angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And you know what's interesting about this? Mary, genetically, her, you know, being female, she was an XX chromosome complement.
Yeah.
And Jesus, being born a male, had to have an XY chromosome complement. The Y chromosome only comes from your father. And Mary has no, there's no father. There's no earthly father involved. This is not a normal conception.
Right.
There's no father's DNA to contribute the Y chromosome. He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And what happened is God had to complete that DNA, and God had to provide the Y chromosome, which really is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked before the idea that Jesus had to have a virgin birth, because otherwise he would have inherited the sin nature from his father, which is where, you know, the Bible says by one man, not by one woman, by one man, sin entered into the world and death by sin. And so sin, the sin nature, passes from father to child.
Yeah, right.
And so, you know, when your wife says it's your fault to the husband, it's, well, it is.
It is.
Your
I was just looking at that this week, because if you look, I was looking at some things about the Genesis account and how, you know, he didn't go to the woman. He went when he went to the man, he says, thou hast sinned. It's thou, because thou shalt not eat. So so the commandment was given to that man.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Adam's sin. Even though Eve did, which Eve was deceived, but Adam willfully sin.
Right. And let me point something out there. The idea that the emphasis of the word thou. One of the reasons you and I use the King James Bible is because of that word thou.
Yeah,
a lot of people say, wow, these thous, they're just too difficult. The ye's and the thous and stuff. Yeah. No, people just don't understand that that is the strength of the King James Bible.
That's right, yeah.
Because English today, we do not have a strong distinction between a plural personal pronoun and a singular personal pronoun. We just say you or you all or something like that. But in the 1600s, in order to accurately and faithfully translate the Bible from the original languages into English, they reached back to a previous older form of English, because by the 1600s, the idea of the personal and pronoun, the singular and plural personal pronouns, was being blurred. So they reached back earlier in English language, where we still had the distinction. And that's where the these and the thous and the ye's come in.
Yeah.
If it's, I tell our church all the time, and I say this on the radio all the time, if it starts with a Y, like ye, you, and your, it's a plural personal pronoun.
Right.
If it starts with a TH, like thee, thou, and thine, it's singular. And it's important many times. Sometimes it doesn't seem to make as much of a difference, but many times it's highly important to distinguish whether it's a singular or a plural personal pronoun. If I was talking to a group of people and said, I'm going to give you $100, does that mean $100 to split amongst everybody there? Or $100 for each person there, or $100 for just one person there.
Yeah.
But if I look at one person and I say, I'm going to give thee $100, then he knows it's just for him.
Just for him, yeah.
And so when you said that, he spoke to Adam and he said, thou.
Yeah.
He was talking specifically to Adam, not Eve.
Sure. Yeah, he
singular.
Says in 17, he says unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake.
Right.
So he's very specific to say, and that's what I've always believed, you know, that commandment was given before Eve was even formed. Because
right.
if you look at earlier in Genesis 2, he gives the commandment in verse 16 and 17. Verse 18, he says, it's not good that man should be alone. Mm-hmm. I will make a helpmeet for him.
Yeah.
So clearly it was his responsibility. And my guess is guys like to blame their wives because they don't want to take responsibility.
Right.
You know, they're the ones responsible for the spiritual well-being of their homes.
Right. And you know, that is reflected in Romans 5, 12, where it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so that death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And it's one man.
Yeah.
It's Adam's fault.
That's right. Yeah.
And so the sin nature passes from father to children, and the consequence is, if Jesus had an earthly father and inherited it, not only would he have gotten the Y chromosome from his earthly father, he would have also gotten a sin nature.
Yeah.
So God created a Y chromosome complement for Jesus and the body that Jesus would be incarnated into, and also avoided the sin nature, because of course God has no sin nature to impart.
Yeah.
And Jesus had no sin nature. He didn't inherit a sin nature.
Yeah.
And so he was born without sin, without a sin nature. And so we go back to Luke chapter 1, and I know we're coming up on a break here in just a minute, couple of minutes, but the angel continues talking to Mary in Luke 1:36, and said, behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who is called barren. So this gets back to the idea that Zechariah, was told when he was serving in the temple that him and his wife would bear a child. Now, it's 6 months down the road. The infant, the unborn child, John, is growing and developing in his mother's womb when the angel Gabriel informs Mary that she's going to bear a child and that her cousin Elizabeth is 6 months along. So this is where we then look at John the Baptist and his birth in order to be able to find out when Jesus was born. And so we find out that Zechariah's burning incense in the execution of his priestly office there when he's told this. And this has been determined that since the priestly duties were at that time divided into 24 courses or orders, and Zechariah belonged to the course of Abijah, that this would have been Abijah serving his course, serving in the 21st station when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah, which calculates to about September 5th or 11th, the beginning of September, which then, of course, brings us down to the idea that John's conception is around the autumn equinox. Well, we're going to pick this up after the break here, and we're going to continue this. But thanks for being with us. Stay with us. We got another hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Glad to be with you here this evening, and certainly Merry Christmas to everybody tonight. And I want to just remind you, you can check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about us and more about the program. You can also link to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, there at livewithpastoral.com. You can listen to past programs there. You can listen to both of our hours of our Sunday night program, our Friday afternoon program, half-hour program every Friday afternoon at 1:30, and all that's available there. A number of articles, different things, all at livewithpastoral.com. Bible.com. And certainly we're sponsored primarily by the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and you can link to our home church there where I am the pastor, and we'd love to have you visit us if you're looking for a church, or you don't have a church, or if you're visiting in the area, we'd love to have you visit at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And also, we're sponsored as well by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And let them know you heard about them here on Live with Pastor Al. I was mentioning East Coast Pizza. My guest in the studio here, Pastor John Lutz, he lit up. He's
I just had some not that long ago.
He is another East Coast Pizza fan, let me tell you.
And I drive from North Ridgeville to go get pizza at Gus's in Garfield Heights. It is worth the drive.
It absolutely is.
Every time my daughter comes back home from Bible college in Tennessee, that's the one thing. Well, there's two restaurants. There's a chicken place on the east side that we're real good friends with, V's Chicken, and a phenomenal job up by 152nd and Lakeshore. And she goes, V's and Gus's. She calls it Gus's Pizza.
Gus's Pizza. That's Gus's what we pizza. Do, too. Gus's Pizza. Yeah, and it's East Coast Pizza.
And we get the cayenne pepper. You can get it with cayenne pepper sauce. Oh, yeah. And, it's worth the drive wherever you're at.
It absolutely is. Yep. And
but look, it's not a big building. So make sure you look for the sign there. Get the address. It's right across from the high school there.
That's why I say the easiest way to see it. You see the high school. It's right across the street.
That's right.
And it's a, I'm trying to remember what it is in the front now. Clothing store or a furniture store?
I don't know.
It used to be a barber shop. It's different now.
I just know there's a big sign on the wall.
Yeah, sign on the wall there. But you can search for it. But East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Give them a call, 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Boy, if he was open now, we could go after the show and get some pizza.
I don't think he is.
No, I think he is. But at any rate, we're going to get back to our program, and I have in the studio with me, if you haven't guessed already, Pastor John Lutz, my friend. He's a pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio, and you have a program win.
Friday afternoons from 1 to 1:30 right here on 1220 AM, The Word.
And, of course, he's just before us on Friday afternoons. He's filled in for me on our Friday afternoon program. I filled in for him on his. And sometimes we've combined our programs. And nice to have you with us here on a Sunday night for the whole 2 hours. Yeah. And we are just talking about things about Christmas. And going into the break, we were talking about December 25th as the date that Jesus was born. Is it or isn't it? And why do people think it is? Why do people think that it isn't? And we were just going through a couple of things, and we were talking about the idea that John the Baptist, when he was 6 months along, not 6 months old, but his mother Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant at that time, when we looked at that, we could calculate based on when his father, Zechariah, was serving in the temple. He was a priest, and he was in the course of Abijah. Yeah. And I was reading an article where they claimed that the course of Abijah would have been, now he says serving the 21st station, which would have calculated early September 5th or 11th in that time frame. And that would have been when Gabriel appeared to Zechariah. Yeah. And then when you calculate that out, it would be that 6 months from that would be about March 25th there. And that would be the time of the conception of Jesus. And so 9 months from March is?
December. Well, let me ask you this, because you should know about this. There seems to be a continual bringing back to March 25th.
Yes.
What is the indication about March? I mean, that seems to be, if you research this out, that seems to be the date everybody pegs everything off of.
Well, it is interesting because, you know, when you look at the Jewish calendar, there's like two New Years, in a sense. Mm-hmm. Rosh Hashanah, which is usually in September, October timeframe, is considered the beginning of the year. And so it's the Jewish New Year.
Yeah.
But yet, when you look at the beginning of the month of Nisan, which is generally about the March-April timeframe, that's considered the beginning of the year too, because in a sense it's the beginning of the calendar of the holy days, because you have the seven feasts and of Levitical feasts. I think it's Leviticus 21 talks about that, and the first of which, of course, is Passover. And so we see these. There's the Passover followed by first fruits, and then the next one would, of course, would, I'm sorry, I said first fruits, I meant unleavened bread. Then first fruits. And then after that was Pentecost. And then you move to the autumn feasts, which of course Rosh Hashanah would be first, the festival of trumpets. And then you had the Day of Atonement, followed by the Feast of Tabernacles. And those were the seven Levitical feasts and part of the schedule. Plus also the resetting of the first of Nisan and as the beginning of the year in terms of the crops, when things would be harvested, when things would be planted, and things like that. Because remember, the Jewish calendar was not the same as the calendar that we use. They were more of a lunar calendar. And the lunar calendar is not in sync with the solar calendar.
Oh, you're going to see that this year. We talked about it already about Easter, because one Easter, the traditional Easter, is on March 31st, but Passover isn't until April 22nd this coming year.
So. And so the Jewish calendar had various leap days added periodically. They even had a leap month, the whole extra month that would be added.
Which is, I think, what's happening this year.
Yeah, I think that's happening this year. Yeah. You're right. And so that was in order to get them reset back into the year. So when you're looking at this March 25th, I think that happens to be right around what we would say would be the start of Nisan and the start of the calendar. And so that seems to be part of it right there, I think. And
yeah, I think the other thing we want to make sure too is we're not here tonight trying to set any dates with that. And it's very clear. I think one of the reasons we're doing a show like this today and talking about this is so people can kind of chill out a little bit about this.
Yeah.
Because, it's like going into court. Right. Mm-hmm. If I'm going in court and I'm being prosecuted about something, I'm looking for, somebody to find reasonable doubt. I can't be convicted. Well, as we sit here and talk about these things, somebody else may come up, wow, look what I've seen over here.
Right.
Great. Oh, we don't need to be overly dogmatic about it. And some people just get so fanatical about this stuff. And listen, if you're persuaded not to do it and not to be a part of it, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. But don't try to impose that on others. If you don't have substantial, credible, factual evidence to say this is exact, it's kind of ludicrous how we kind of take this thing sometimes.
And that's a good point, because you get some people that they, if you even dare mention the birth of Christ in December, for some reason, you can talk about Jesus being born any other time of the year. You can have a service in the middle of summer and say, we're going to talk about the birth of Christ today. But if you do it in December, all of a sudden it's pagan. It's a pagan practice to talk about the birth of Christ in December.
Yeah, it's amazing too. And we were talking about this earlier before the show, that people love talking about paganism. People love talking. I mean, it's amazing. Mm-hmm. Some people just love. They're so honed. It's almost like they learn more about all this paganism stuff, and know less about the Bible than they do about their paganistic stuff. We all know people like that. I'm not that way. I know you're not that way. They're interesting things to study and try to find out, but you come up with some different information. That's all right. We can still, if we're heading in the same direction, we've got the same biblical doctrines. Okay, we can still get along. But Paul talked about this liberty, about being persuaded in your own mind. Not that we can use that to violate the scriptures or to be involved in those things, but he tells the people clearly. He goes, we know there's no idols. He says it right there in, was it 1 Corinthians 8 or so? There's no idols, but not everybody has that knowledge. So be respectful of that. But it doesn't mean that what you're saying is right, what we're saying is right. What we're doing is just trying to show you that there are some legitimate possibilities for the date to have been and his birth to be in the December timeframe.
Right, right.
And if that's all that's accomplished, that's reasonable doubt on, mm-hmm. on these other things. Right. So,
well, and you, and we are going through where, you know, this one guy says that looking at when Zechariah would have been serving in the temple, and it means that. But then you are pointing out something in First Chronicles that suggests that it might not be the right time that the course
if it,
was.
If this is the same Abijah, it says here the 8th. The 8th
not
lot
the 21st.
Went to Abijah.
So there's always these things, but to your point about whatever day it is not really being so big of a deal, the idea being we worship the we worship God and we celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ was born. Paul said it this way in Romans 14:5, one man esteemeth one day above another, another esteemeth every day alike, let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. I told somebody recently, I said, if you want to celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th, that's great. If you want to celebrate it on February 3rd, that's fine. If you want to celebrate it on September the 14th, wonderful. If you want to celebrate it on whatever day. But the important thing is that we remember what it means and what it represents. Jesus Christ came into the world so that he could do what we couldn't do, live a perfect life and be holy without sin, fulfill the law completely, and then go to the cross and pay for your sins and mine. And if I can't celebrate the fact that Jesus Christ came into the world, I would have to take a lot out of my Bible because, all the Old Testament scriptures talking about the birth of Christ.
Yeah.
You've got Luke and Matthew talking extensively in the beginning about
the
birth
validation.
Of Christ.
Much of the validation of those prophecies.
Yeah, and in fact, you mentioned that. Let me just turn over here in the Gospel of John and verse the last let me get turned back. I'll buy it here too fast. In the last chapter of John, it says this, second to the last chapter in John 20, verse 30, and many other signs that truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. And then he says this in verse 31, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. The things that are recorded here are recorded so that we can believe.
Yeah.
And when we see Micah the prophet prophesying that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, and Jesus fulfills that, that helps us to believe. When we see that, you know, the prophecy of Isaiah that there'd be a virgin birth, and then we see the fulfillment in the Gospels that Mary conceives and has as a virgin and bears a son, that also tells us there's something about this guy.
You know, I remember years ago and preaching on these things and coming to Matthew 1 when we're talking when the Lord comes to Joseph. And, you know, sometimes you wonder, well, why did Joseph react the way that he was reacting? Why would he do that? Well, because all he's going off is the testimony of Mary, and he knows, okay, how a woman gets pregnant.
Right.
And, you know, I believe that she came and she left right away to go see Elizabeth. She comes back, what, 3-6 months later?
Yeah, I saw a movie where they portrayed that. She leaves, she comes back. She
and now
gets
she's
up,
pregnant.
And she's obviously pregnant.
And now he's going, she's been gone, and she's saying, oh, the Holy Ghost came on me. And he goes, I think I'm just going to put her away privily. So the Lord intervened and
exactly.
said, hey,
and
Joseph.
Spoke to him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so even if we cannot conclusively say Jesus was born on December 25th, it certainly isn't a case where it was absolutely set at that date by the Roman Catholic Church in order to replace a pagan festival.
Right.
Because there is evidence that before the Catholic Church set that date and before the pagan festival of Sol Invictus that it supposedly replaced was in place, people were already commemorating the 25th as the birth of Christ.
Yeah,
so,
and you know, another good point, and not to shift off this, but I think it kind of goes along, is you know, the understanding about the shepherds, and you mentioned this, what type of shepherds, because that plays into this, who the shepherds were and the time frame of what they were accomplished. So maybe we could talk about that just a little bit.
Oh, absolutely, because the shepherds were given the sign. Remember, the angel appeared to them and said that the sign was what? They would see the babe
lying in a manger,
wrapped in swaddling clothes.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shepherds weren't just any shepherds, but they were a group of Levitical shepherds, I believe, from some research that I've done, reading people who dug into this. They were actually Levitical shepherds, and they were overseeing the birth of Passover lambs. Well, this is kind of interesting, too, if you think about it, because if Passover lambs are being born in late December and Passover is going to be in March, April, they would have been old enough. They'd have been lambs that they could have been used. And they were inspecting the lambs when they were born and making sure that they had no problems of any kind, blemishes or anything.
Right.
And they would wrap a cloth around them to keep them from wandering off or getting hurt, and they would lay them in a manger, basically, to keep them separate.
Yeah.
And that's why when the angel said, this will be the sign, and they go to Bethlehem, and they see the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes laying in a manger, they're looking at this baby saying, this is what we're doing to the Passover lambs, which is fitting because who is Jesus? He's our Passover lamb. And so if he was being born about the time Passover lambs were being born, it was fitting
because he
was crucified as our Passover lamb at the time Passover lambs were being crucified
and
being killed for the Passover. He was crucified and died at that time. So, that's another indication.
Yeah.
And I'm always leery of people then for that reason, for a variety of reasons, that want to drive Christmas out of the calendar.
Yeah.
You know, and I know sometimes it's for good reasons, people have good reasons, but a lot of times we look at the world trying to drive Christmas out of the calendar. Yeah, when I was in school, we had Christmas break.
Yeah.
You don't have Christmas break anymore.
We had a Christmas party before before you went on your Christmas break.
Yeah, and you gave Christmas cards.
And that's right.
Now it's holiday break.
And you went to the Christmas shop. Well, maybe sometimes it's a Santa shop or whatever, but it was a Christmas shop where you would go buy gifts.
Right.
And so, I mean, it was a total, that was what you did.
It was Christmas, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the world sees it, and it's a great opportunity for us to talk to people at this time of year that would never think about it.
Yeah.
But, and that's one of the reasons I think the world wants to get rid of the idea of Christmas and Christ and being born. A couple of years back, I did a parody of a well-known Christmas carol, or not carol, but poem, "'Twas the Night Before Christmas." And every once in a while, I would get motivated to do a parody. I don't know why. And I came up with one, "'Twas the Night Before Winterfest. And this idea of trying to get rid of Christmas and drive Christ out of the holidays. And we've got a copy of this. I'm not going to do it live right now. I actually got a recording of this. And so we're going to listen to, and it's a little humorous, a little light, but hopefully there's a few good points in it. "'Twas the Night Before Winterfest." "'Twas the night before Winterfest, when all through the land not a Christian was stirring nor lending a hand. Their Christmas was hung by the attorneys with care. The Christians were nestled all snug in their pews, while visions of Winterfest gave them the blues. And Deacon in his suit coat and I with my tote had just racked our brains for a Winterfest float. When out in the hall there arose such a clatter, I sprang from the room to see what was the matter. Away to the foyer I flew like a flash, tore into the lobby and fell with a crash. The moon on the crest of the holiday tree gave the luster of Earth Day to all I did see, when what to my wondering eyes should appear but a rumpled old man with 8 charges to fear. 'Twas a little old lawyer so snidely and slick, I knew in a moment it must be Old Nick. More rapid than eagles his charges they came, and he hooted and hollered and charged us with blame. No Bibles, no witness, no commandments in here, no meetin' nor preachin', and no teachin', you hear. To the stop of your sword I'm a plaintiff to all, I'll dash away, trash away, bash away all. As weak knees before the ACLU did knock, when met with a subpoena, though it was a crock. So up to the courthouse the lawyers they flew, with a case full of briefs, and old Nicholas, too. And then in a twinkling I heard out the door their protests and outcries and a little bit more. As I stuck out my head and was looking around, down the pathway old Nicholas came with a bound. He was stressed in a fire from the look of his eyes, and his cases were all tarnished with falsehoods and lies. A bundle of griefs he had flung in his pack, he looked like a swindler, a bit of a quack. His eyes, how they smoldered, his grimace so scary. His lawyers were flustered, his attorneys harried. His stern little mouth was drawn down in a frown, for the base of his case the judge had shot down. The stub of a pencil held tight in his fist, and the note he had circled stood out on his list. He had a broad claim that the judge had found smelly, that shook when he sued like a case full of jelly. He was grumpy and sore, a right angry old hob, and I laughed when I saw him in spite of his mob. A look at his case and a peek at the note soon gave me to know what the judge he had wrote. He spoke not a word, for his case was a joke, and filed at the courthouse to harry the folk. By laying his lawsuit astride of the court, and giving a threat to end Christmas by tort, I sprang in the pulpit to the church, gave the news of what the judge wrote of old Nicholas' views. God's great gift of his Son on that one blessed night sent a Savior for all. That's a case you can't fight. Well, I hope you enjoyed 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest. And I was, you know, talking with Pastor Lutz earlier that every once in a while, I don't know why, the urge hits me write a parody. And I have a longer parody based on, you know, how the Grinch stole Christmas, how the ACLU stole Christmas. But that, I didn't want to get into that one on the radio as much. But you know, when you look at this and some of the things that I was touching on there, like we were going into that, talking about how they're taking Christ out of Christmas, taking Christ out of the holidays, and the idea that the world wants to have celebrations and the world wants to celebrate without the reason for celebrating, which is Christ. And I guess a couple of things that I wanted to touch on in that parody, 'Twas the Night Before Winterfest, is the idea that a lot of churches buy into this. Pastors and church leaders are afraid to make a big emphasis on Christ. And we were talking about how they've changed from the idea of having Christmas break in school to it's now winter break.
Yeah.
And that's why I called it Winterfest. You can have a you can't have a Christmas celebration, but you can have Winterfest. While we're on the subject, and maybe we'll pick up this idea a little bit in the next hour, the idea that you have a holiday tree.
I was just looking at
it. You can't have a Christmas tree, but you have a holiday tree. Yeah. I thought, okay, Hanukkah is at this time of year.
Yeah.
What is the symbolism of the tree for Hanukkah? I really can't. How about Kwanzaa? Like people celebrate Kwanzaa. What's the symbolism for Kwanzaa about the tree? And, well, maybe it's, I don't know. What holiday could it possibly symbolize?
Yeah.
We can't say Christmas.
Well, Pastor Al, you know what the Bible says about Christmas trees, right?
Maybe we can talk
about that next.
In the next hour, I think we could get into the Christmas tree issue.
That's it.
As I said, that's a perennial issue, too. Every year comes up. So maybe we'll pick that up in the next segment here. We're going to be taking a break here in just a few minutes, and we'll have another hour to go yet tonight. But again, this idea. We've allowed the lawyers, we've allowed that group to threaten us and to cow us into submission, and we ought to take a stand. We ought to take a stand for what is right, and the world wants to shut us up. The world wants nothing to do with Christ, and Jesus said that we shouldn't be surprised when that happens because the world hates him.
He also said, don't be terrified. Don't be deceived. Don't be terrified. And that brings up a bigger issue of the, we were talking about earlier, cowardice is just, it's pervading our churches today. And it definitely needs to be addressed.
Yeah. So when we look at that, you know, if churches aren't going to fight for this, who is?
Yeah.
Well, we're going to got another hour to go yet here, and I hope people stay tuned, and we'll pick up that Christmas tree fight or discussion here at the next hour. But stay tuned, and again, Merry Christmas to all of our listeners tonight.
On July 2nd, 1954, then-Senator Lyndon Baines Johnson offered an amendment to a pending tax bill. No committee hearings, no legislative analysis, backroom deals. The Johnson Amendment was an overt move to restrict freedom of speech and silence conservative nonprofit groups opposing Johnson and his cronies by threatening their tax-exempt status. The result? Many pastors, out of fear or ignorance, stopped speaking about controversial political issues and elections. Today, Many believe that the Johnson Amendment makes it illegal for pastors to address political issues and elections. The Bible says we are to fear God rather than men, and to be salt and light in the world, preaching the whole counsel of God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. True churches and faithful Christian leaders speak out on political issues and elections.